Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Quarter Four and FY 2022 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all of you. Also, good morning or good evening in case you're joining from international locations. First of all, thank you very much for joining this call today, and your presence here means a lot to us because you decided to give time to guide us and give us feedback. This call is to discuss the business performance for quarter four as well as the full financial year ending March 31, 2022 of NIIT Limited. I am requesting Sapnesh to first provide an update, and that before he does that, I would also like to just set the context. First of all, I would like to believe or I would like to inform that the financial year ending March 31, 2022 has indeed been a milestone year for NIIT. There have been a number of important milestones crossed. First, NIIT completed 40 years of operations, and in these 40 years has touched nearly 40 million people. The second, one of the better years in terms of financial performance as well as in terms of customer addition, inorganic expansion, partner addition, new business models, peer recognition, and of course, ending the year with the beginning of the reorganization journey that we embarked on. The strong results that we'll share with you are in terms of revenue growth and profitability, and they are also a testimony to NIIT's resilience, sustainability, ability to transform to remain relevant, and the brand trust that we have built in the markets that we service over the last four decades. The results also reflect the sharp transformation that we have achieved over the last couple of years, defined and driven by the agile and decisive actions, the depth and breadth of our experience in learning technologies, and the strong execution capability that the company has displayed. We started the year by investing in the growth agenda and in talent, which has become the top priority for every corporation. To describe to you the journey of the year as well as where we stand right now in terms of our readiness for the future, I would now request Sapnesh Lalla, CEO and Executive Director, to share the initial brief. I may also mention that we are joined here in today's call by our Chairman, Mr. Rajendra Singh Pawar, and my other colleagues, Mr. P. Rajendran, the Joint Managing Director and Executive Director, Mr. Sapnesh Lalla, the CFO, Mr. Kapil Saurabh, who looks after investor relations and M&A, and Mr. Uday Singh, the Chief Strategy Officer, as well as Mr. Deepak Bansal, who's the Company Secretary. We would all be very happy to entertain questions as well as answer them to the best of our abilities at the end of the initial brief. With that, over to Sapnesh.
Thanks, Vijay, and thanks everyone for joining this call. Please note that based on the proposed reorganization of the company, the residual schools business, which was earlier classified as an asset held for sale, is now classified as a business with continuing operations. Therefore, the financials have been consolidated in the current as well as previous quarters for like-to-like comparison. With that out of the way, let me start to give you the overall highlights for both quarter four as well as the financial year 2022. In quarter four, NIIT's revenue stood at 3,750 million INR, and it was up 35% year-on-year. Both the corporate learning group as well as the SNC businesses have achieved robust growth on a year-on-year basis, ahead of our expectations. And I will cover this in more detail later on in my presentation. The revenue was down 3% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, given that quarter four is a traditionally low quarter for NIIT, both for CLG as well as SNC. Excluding the RPS acquisition, which was consummated on 1st of October of 2021, the revenue was 3,460 million, and organically, the business was up 24% YoY. The EBITDA was at 372 million, up 6% year-on-year. The tax was -14 million for the quarter. This includes a net tax benefit of approximately 180 million, arising on the planned completion of voluntary liquidation of NYJL during the quarter. The profit after tax was at 674 million, resulting in an EPS of rupees 5 versus rupees 3.30 last year. The EPS is up 53% year-on-year. Overall, for the fiscal year 2022, the revenue was at rupees 13,775 million, and that was up 44% year-on-year. Excluding the RPS acquisition, the revenue was 13,183 million, and that was up 24% year-on-year on an organic basis. The EBITDA was rupees 2,999 million, up 82% year-on-year. The profit after tax was 2,262 million, resulting in an EPS of 16.8 rupees versus 10.1 the previous year. Please note also that the EPS includes the impact of the buyback of 9.875 million shares completed earlier this year. Looking at the corporate learning group, we are continuing to disproportionately invest in new capabilities, new markets, and in expanding sales and marketing to achieve higher market access. Our investments are enabling us to accelerate deal velocity and scale delivery capability globally. During the year, we added 16 new MTS customers and increased our revenue visibility to $328 million. As shared earlier, during the year, we started investing in entering the higher education vertical in the United States. While it's still early days, we have strong traction with two large public universities in the United States. We expect to accelerate the deal velocity in this vertical in FY 2023 and expect this vertical to be a material contributor to our revenues this in year FY 2024. In Q4, for the corporate learning group, the revenue stood at 2,957 million, and that was up 24% year-on-year. In constant currency, the revenue was up 23% YoY and flat on a QoQ basis. Despite the seasonality, the business stayed strong in Q4. The EBITDA was rupees 716 million. The EBITDA margin was 24%. It was down 37 basis points on a QoQ basis. As guided earlier, the margin was down QoQ, driven predominantly based on investments in transition of the multiple new customers that we have acquired this past quarter, as well as overall in the second half of the year. The second part was the planned ramp-up as guided in expenditure in sales and marketing, as well as to some extent, the partial resumption of travel and premises-related costs due to the opening up of the economies. Our investments are continuing to help us add and scale contracts, both existing as well as with new customers. During Q4, the corporate learning group signed 3 new MTS customers, all 3 of them in the life sciences segment, and one out of those 3 in the biotechnology manufacturing segment. So we continue to expand our reach and breadth in the life sciences segment. We also expanded 2 existing contracts, one with a large technology company and the second with a large global GSI. We also continued to maintain 100% renewal track record by extending all contracts that came up for renewal this quarter. Now, overall, the managed training services customers tally stands at 66. So overall, strong order wins, ensuring revenue visibility to be at $328 million at the end of the year. For the full year, the corporate learning group recorded a growth of 35%, achieved an EBITDA of $2,989 million, which was up 68% on a year-on-year basis. The EBITDA margins were 26%, and that was up 508 basis points on a year-on-year basis. Growth and margins over the last 2 years have been robust and have been ahead of our guided range. As I have mentioned earlier, the consumption of our services with existing customers had dropped during the pandemic. Over this past year, the consumption, while still at lower levels, has stabilized, and most of the growth that you have seen has been a result of proactive investments in sales and marketing and new capabilities which have helped us gain new customers as well as grow our business with our existing customers. Growth has, like I mentioned, come through addition of new customers as well as the expansion and share of wallet with our existing customers. More recently, and I'm sure you see it in the news, while there has been an increase in uncertainty in the environment, however, in terms of our preparedness and capability set, we are confident, more confident than before in our ability to execute. We are doubling down on investments and planning for the earlier guided 20% growth, 20% profit trajectory. Given the massive uncertainty in the environment, there may be some variations in this, which we would update you from time to time. The year has started well, and we expect to achieve a 5% quarter growth in the corporate business in the first quarter of this year. In our skills and career business, quarter four is, as I mentioned earlier, a seasonally low quarter. In spite of that, the revenue for the quarter was a strong $793 million. It was up 97% year-on-year. Excluding the acquisition of RPS, the revenue was $503 million, and that was up 25% year-on-year. For the year, for SNC, the revenue was at $2,465 million, and that was up 99% year-on-year. Organic growth was up 51% year-on-year. This business has shown smart recovery over FY21 and is now on a robust growth trajectory. The EBITDA was a positive $10 million as compared to a loss of $132 million the previous year, despite the increased investments in our digital learning offerings. As stated earlier, we see this business as a strong digital learning platform across domains for both career seekers as well as working professionals. The addition of RPS Consulting has reinforced and further strengthened our offerings, both for the early careers as well as the working professionals. The RPS business, as I've mentioned earlier, provides training in the emerging digital technologies to working professionals, a segment which is seeing strong demand due to digital transformation across key businesses in India. Given that, we see a multi-year growth cycle in demand for digital talent as businesses increase adoption of digital services to service their customers globally. Given the large opportunity, we have accelerated investments in the SNC business, which has helped us lift the revenue run rate. Between StackRoot, RPS, and the enterprise business, we have a strong coverage of the global system integrators, who are the enablers of digital transformation globally, the global capability centers, who are early adopters of digital, as well as leading Indian enterprises who have started their journey on the path of digital transformation. We now have a range of offerings that cover key aspects of digital transformation, including 5G, cloud technologies, cybersecurity, game development, data science, AI, ML, full stack product engineering, as well as key programs in digital marketing. NIT has contributed to the growth of IT industry over the last 40 years, as you might be aware, and continues to help the industry deal with its talent shortage. In FY22, the company trained and onboarded nearly 10% of the fresh IT graduates into the IT industry. A flagship offering, StackRoot and TPaaS, continue to deliver strong growth for the year FY22. StackRoot and TPaaS grew at 137% year on year and contributed 41% of the overall SNC revenues. Our balance sheet continues to be strong. The cash position improved quarter on quarter by 258 million to ₹12,525 million versus ₹12,266 million at the end of the previous quarter. Please note that this is despite the payout of about 400 million INR towards the interim dividend announced and paid during the fourth quarter. Our days of sales outstanding were at 48 days as of March 31st, and this is as compared to 57 last quarter and 55 at the end of previous year. The operating cash flow in Q4 was at 747 million and free cash flow was at 627 million. As of March 31st, 22, we had 3,104 NITians, and that is up 272 on a quarter-on-quarter basis, as well as up 503 on a year-on-year basis. Overall, we continue to believe that we have a tremendous opportunity ahead of us, both in the corporate learning group as well as in the SNC business. For the corporate learning group, global corporate training is and is a growing $400 billion market, and it has grown significantly on a year-on-year basis. NIT has established a strong right to win with significant differentiation and value creation for its customers, both in terms of effectiveness and efficiency of learning. Consistent growth and strong margins and an asset-light, high ROC model has helped us deliver strong results and strong growth over the last couple of years. And we continue to aspire to stay on this growth journey. For the SNC business, training for digital skills in India represents a $15 to $20 billion opportunity. NIT has been a top provider of technology training to both individuals as well as enterprises over the last 40 years, and we hope to consolidate our position among the top providers of technology training in India. We have an opportunity to establish leadership position in digital learning and establish NIT as the number one choice for both career seekers as well as working professionals. With that, I'll hand it over back to Vijay to give you a quick update on the reorganization.
Thank you, Sapnesh. So as we had shared last quarter regarding the special committee appointed by the board that noted that to address the next phase of growth in CLG and skills and careers, it is imperative that target customers get undivided attention, differentiation focus, and clear positioning. Also, businesses need agility, independent decision-making, and capital allocation tied to value creation for our customers. NIIT has the necessary capital to support the growth ambitions of each of the two businesses, and therefore creating two independently run businesses with significant growth capital will propel both CLG and SNC to realize the true potential that Sapnesh just shared. So based on this, the special committee had recommended creating two independent entities and maximize their potential. Based on the recommendations of the special committee and advice from the experts engaged in the process, the board of the company had approved the reorganization of corporate learning business as an independent company separately listed on the stock exchanges. All assets, resources, contracts, investments, including the subsidiary companies that form part of the CLG business, would be transferred and vested into the NIIT's wholly owned subsidiary, NIIT Learning Systems Limited. This would result in a vertical split of NIIT Limited, and post the reorganization, NIIT Limited would run and operate the skills and careers business, and NLSL, that is NIIT Learning Services Limited, would run and operate the CLG business. The shareholding of NLSL will be an exact mirror copy for our shareholders, with every shareholder getting one share of NLSL for every one share of NIIT held by them. And post this reorganization, NLSL shares would also get listed on Bombay Stock Exchange as well as National Stock Exchange. This reorganization is under Section 230-232 of the Companies Act through a composite scheme of arrangement, which is subject to approval by shareholders, creditors, and customary approvals from various regulatory bodies. And it was expected to take 12 to 18 months to complete. I, along with the management team, are excited about this reorganization and believe that we can create significant value for the shareholders, customers, and employees of both the companies. At this point of time, the company has taken the planned appointed date of the reorganization as April 1, 2022, and Post the approval process that it is currently undergoing with the Bombay Stock Exchange, National Stock Exchange, and SEBI, the next set of steps would be taken with the National Company Law Tribunal, which is NCLT. And once the approval of NCLT is obtained, the reorganization would be deemed to have been happened from the appointed date, which is April 1, 2022. So at this point of time, we are in that phase and would keep our shareholders and investors posted on the progress in this matter from in every quarterly results, or if in between the two results, if there is a significant development accordingly with the investors. So we are at this point of time, and I would now like to open this discussion for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. We would request participants to use handset mode while asking your question. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Baidik Sarkar from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, hi, good evening, and thank you for the opportunity. Given the impending demerger, has the domestic skills and services group begun to adopt a different go-to-market approach than that was perhaps different from the earlier days? And importantly, how can we view the profitability of this vertical and organically? What kind of growth rate are you looking at here?
Thank you, Baidik. I'll ask Sapnesh to answer this question.
Sure, and thanks, Baidik, for that question. I think from an overall perspective, for our India business, we have a dual go-to-market which addresses two segments, both the early career segment as well as the working professional segment. And we address the working professional segment through our enterprise go-to-market. We address the early career segment both through our enterprise go-to-market as well as our B2C go-to-market. And our overall strategy is to expand the B2C go-to-market to address working professionals as well over time. In terms of our growth, we are continuing to invest, as I pointed out earlier, continuing to invest in both go-to-market strategies and expect to have strong double-digit growth. Last year, as I pointed out, we grew at more than almost 99% on a year-on-year basis, and we expect to have a strong growth of over 50% in this coming year as well. In terms of profitability, we expect the investments to continue, and we will have either a break-even or a small profit for the year 23. Excluding, I think one part of your question was around organic growth for this past year. The organic growth for the past year was approximately 50% for the SNC business.
Sapnesh, thanks for that. Your comment on disproportionate investment in the market access in the CLG business, could you flesh that out better? And your thoughts on deal velocity for FY23, right? You sounded very upbeat. You know, what are the lead indicators suggesting are right for success here?
Yeah, I think as you may have noticed over the last 2 years, we've seen accelerating deal velocity. And this acceleration in deal velocity was the result of continuing investments or disproportionate investments in sales and marketing over the last 5 years. And I think given the environment and the success we've had, we would like to continue to increase these investments. About 3.5-4 years ago, we started investing significantly in the life sciences segment from a sales and marketing perspective, and that segment now is approximately 15% of our business. Earlier this year, we started investing in the higher education segment, and we expect that segment to start contributing materially from FY24 onwards. So we continuously have a track record of investing ahead of time in sales and marketing so that we can accelerate growth. SNC as well, we have been investing disproportionately in sales and marketing, and you've seen some impact of that in the profitability in SNC. But I think from an overall perspective, that's part of the strategy to establish NIIT as the first choice, not just for our enterprise customers globally, but for our skills and career customers in India as well.
So when you said 20% growth and 20% profit trajectory, should you reckon that from this year, FY23? Because if our margin is sustained even at 24% in this segment, I'm not sure how the numbers will add up at a bottom line level. I'm just alluding to your guidance of 20% profit growth in CLG.
Yeah, like I pointed out, we are investing significantly for entry and expansion in the higher education segment. We've already had traction with two large public universities, and obviously to stand up a go-to-market team costs a fair bit of money, and that's really the difference. To some extent, the difference is also because of the inflation in overall costs, predominantly people costs, as well as the opening up in terms of premises costs as well as travel related expenses in the upcoming, I mean, in FY23.
So we will still be in a position to end 23 at 20% higher than last year in earnings. Is that what you meant? Did I get you right there?
No, I think I said that we would be able to end the year with 20% growth at 20% margin.
20% loss. All right. Thank you very much. And my best wishes.
I think, Vaidik, one more thing which I would like to point out is I think both the businesses have a certain degree of seasonality across quarters. So you should not read 20% to mean 20% across the year, because last 2 years are not, have not been typical years. And in the coming year, once more and more time, while we believe that end of the year, the growth will be, we are aiming for 20% growth and 20% EBITDA. The profile that it will follow across quarters may vary. And the second is also growth year on year versus last 4 quarters may also vary, given the peculiarities of last year as well as the seasonality, which is very relevant in the coming years. So you would like to check the past track record of our quarterly performances, you would be able to correlate with that.
I would also say that there is significant environmental uncertainty, and as the situation changes, if we see any changes, we'll of course come back to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Basi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Firstly, thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the great numbers. I've been a long-term investor in NIIT and it has made substantial wealth for me. So thank you for that. Just going on to the future, when you're talking about growing the SNC business and disproportionate investments, could you give us more data on the same, like what do you mean by exactly by disproportionate investments in terms of quantum? Secondly, with respect to the demerger, or rather with respect to the companies coming to, there would be significant, I'm assuming, real estate assets as well. Could you give us the valuation of the same? And secondly, while taking this decision, the board would have come across certain numbers in terms of valuations of either companies on a standalone basis, which would obviously be greater than the valuation of NIIT right now as it stands. So would you be in a position to share the sum of the parts valuation so that there's less information asymmetry in the market, because different individuals seem to have different numbers for the same? And thirdly, in a market in the US, which is talking about recession, how do you see training as a skill set being prioritized, where NIIT will then have an opportunity to grow and maintain margins? Thank you so much.
Siddharth, first of all, thank you very much for your very kind words in the beginning. I think it's a great source of encouragement for the team. Second, I have to compliment you on very deep understanding of our businesses. So indeed, you have been studying this company for long. I'll request Sapnesh to answer some of these questions for you. And if there is any left, then I'll chip in.
Sure. I think I'll try to start with your third question first. And that was, I think, around how do I see recession playing out as far as a corporate business or the business overall is concerned. I think from an overall perspective, in the medium term, every recession has resulted into increased propensity to outsource. And that is really a result of most organizations trying to focus on what is core to them and then work with specialists to do what they may what might not be core to them. For most of our enterprise customers and prospective customers, training is not a core business that they are in. Our customers tend to be in the technology space, in the telecom space, in the banking space, financial services, insurance, energy, For all of these organizations, training is not core to their business. They do it because they are good at it. They've done it all along. But they also feel that they are a reliable source for training their own people. As our customers would testify, our customers find in NIIT a reliable organization who they can trust to deliver as well as themselves, if not better, on their training needs. And I think as the propensity of corporations increases in terms of outsourcing, as they start focusing more and more on their core services, NIIT will have an increasing right to win, given how well we have done with our existing customers. So that's really my take on recession. Now, in the short term, we might see headwinds as organizations look at optimizing their spends overall. But in the long term, across the last two or three recessions that I've had to participate in or I've experienced, we've seen an increased propensity to outsource. I think you had a couple of other questions. I think one of your questions was, how would we value the two organizations separately? I think that's really for your community to decide rather than for me to put a price on the organization. I think it's going to be in the eye of the beholder. What I think we will continue to execute on is to do our best to create value for our customers and to have as much growth, as much profit, and do all of that to the highest standards in terms of ethics. That's what we will guarantee. And I think if we do that for our customers, growth will come and our customers and our shareholders will value us for that. So that's really my take on it. I'm not the one to value. I think it's going to be in the eye of the beholder.
But I'm sure when you're doing the process of splitting the company into two, there's an SOTP, I'm sure, that comes at your desk. And since, you know, individual investors often don't get to know as much data as institutions or larger investors. So just in the interest of fairness, if it's possible, there are such numbers that have come across to you, if you could share those. And secondly, in terms of other assets that the company may own, how would you value those and are we valuing them at this point of time and which company are we putting them in?
Okay, so let me try to mention this. First of all, there is no information asymmetry between what a large institution knows and you know. Everybody has the same information. By law, we are mandated, and as a practice, we have done so from day one. So whatever data that is available, and we do not like to create a speculative practice and speculation around what the price might be, it will be very, very unfair. I think our job is to ensure that we create value for our customers. Our actions result in their paying us, and that creates value for our shareholders. How the shareholders value that is visible in the way. Now, for comparison's sake, typically the CLG business gets valued versus the outsourcing service or services outsourcing companies like IT outsourcing companies. And given the unique position we are in, typically we believe statistically that we get valued at a premium to our equal size companies, the same size companies. That's just experience, and that's nothing. I'm not adding data to that. As far as the skills and career business is concerned, they get valued more like the companies of similar nature, which are there. Not too many of them are listed, but from private valuations and whatever other methods that we figure that are there, you could think of comparative valuation. But please take that as my guidance. We are not here to guide you on how the valuations will be. What we can tell you is what the company strategy will be in terms of the business. The third element of the question that you had was assets that the company has. Both businesses have their assets clearly marked out because A, many of them are in different geographies, and even the soft or the hard assets are clearly marked. There, having said that, there are common soft assets and both entities will have access to those soft assets. In terms of real estate, the company has never been, has been asset light and does not have a lot of real estate, but the real estate, whatever there exists at this point of time in this part of the world, would remain with NIIT Limited. Have I answered?
Right.
That's what is mentioned in the scheme of arrangement and that is shared with everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. I must say NIIT's management has always been transparent and great. And I've had a great journey with this company for the last 4 years. If I may mention, the stock price is ever since the 70s level. And I hope to see it to go to 10,000 and I'd be great and still be riding on it. Just a shout out to Mr. Kapil Saurabh as well. Yesterday I had issues in terms of being able to get to the call and he was very prompt in resolving my issues. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all your answers and keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Your comments mean a lot to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's open it for next question, please, operator.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Preeti Panchal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding employee benefit expenses. In the quarter four, the employee benefit expenses has reduced, whereas in the presentation, it is mentioned that the employees' numbers are increasing. So I just wanted to understand the contradiction between these two.
Employee benefit expenses, have you read those from the published? Are you reading standalone results or are you reading
both,
consolidated?
Both. It's a reducing in both.
Okay, we'll just handle the question because typically we have a summary sheet in front of us. But we'll get you an answer to that question.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshil Sethia from AUM Fund Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I want to clarify on the previous participant's question. When you earlier guided with a revenue guidance of 20% and EBITDA margin guidance of 20%, so does that mean that going ahead that there will be an EBITDA degrowth going into FY23 for the CLG business?
Like I pointed out, the EBITDA we are guiding at about 20% predominantly on account of the following. Number one, additional investments in sales and marketing. And second, we are also going to see or we are anticipating travel and premises costs to resume. And that's the reason for the guidance.
Okay. And that is just for the CLG business, not the company as a whole, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, which means that your EBITDA on an approximate estimate would be around 270 crores for the next year, assuming that Skills and Careers business remains flat at 0%.
Give or take, yes.
That's okay. The math.
That is the
math. Just take the numbers we just gave you. That's the math.
Okay. And so the second question.
Exchange variations to that.
Exchange variations and then again, like I pointed out earlier, we are in an uncertain environment at this point in time and in case we see any uncertainties in our business, we will come back to you.
Okay, so your 300 crore, approximately 299 crore EBITDA will be 270 crores going ahead for the next year. And sir, I had a second question. Earlier we were of the view that we were hiving off the schools business. So what changed that now we are clubbing it with the CLG business?
I think from an overall perspective, that business is less than 0.5% of our overall business. From a materiality perspective, it is insignificant. We pointed out earlier, the CLG business is being merged into that entity.
Okay. So, are we planning to add further resources in the schools business?
No, like I pointed out earlier, we stopped taking on new contracts. We have some existing contracts which we are servicing as promised to our customers, and we will continue to service those contracts till those contracts stay in force.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinath M. from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. I had just one or two questions. If I read the exchange release right, the dividend was one of the agenda of today's board meeting, but there is no mention of final dividend or any such thing. Any clarification on that?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll respond. If you were there in last board meeting or last call, then I would like to remind that in quarter three, the company had given an interim dividend.
Sure.
And that was given... Yeah, that was given in line along with the statement, which is in the transcript also, saying that given that the company will be in the next 12 months in the period of restructuring or reorganization and the scheme of arrangement is in force, the board felt that it will be prudent to consider any dividend only after completion of the scheme of arrangement. Otherwise, there will be technical difficulties in figuring out how to split that as between the two companies.
Right. And related question
is... We had guided that the next dividend would therefore be considered at the end of the scheme of arrangement. And by the two companies, each individually. And that will be the more prudent thing to do. And to that extent, therefore, there was no announcement of dividend this time.
Right. And related question is on the cash balances, which is actually deflating our return ratios. The two go hand in hand actually. Payout would have actually reduced the cash balances and improved our return ratios. And also, the second point is, I remember having read that the cash is going to be equally divided between the two. You spoke of other assets. But the cash, which is at around, I think, 1200 crores, is going to be equally divided between the two companies. Is that reading right?
No, your reading is wrong. We had actually shared that about 500 crores would be given to the NIIT Learning Services Limited, and the balance would be with NIIT Limited, would remain with NIIT Limited. And we had also explained the rationale that the NIIT Learning Services Limited, which is the CLG business, is a cash generating business. And at this point of time, this would be sufficient to look after their growth ambitions as well as the needs that they have from time to time. On the other hand, NIIT Limited is in an investment cycle right now, and therefore would need the cash in the short and medium term before it starts generating enough cash to look after its own ambitions.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So that is as far as the cash division was concerned. I would also like to comment that while the return ratios in short term may appear the way they are, and you are right, but I think given the uncertainty in the environment and a very specific inorganic growth plan that the company is embarked on, of which one action happened in the second part of last year, I think this cash in the kitty will create a state of readiness for both businesses to look at appropriate opportunities and take advantage of them. So we believe that at this point of time, having cash in the balance sheet is actually a very strong positive for the company. I must also mention that many of our customers look at the financial stability of the company in these uncertain and volatile times before they would consider us for the award of the contract, including one very recent one, which we got 2 quarters ago, where I think the financial due diligence was to look at the financial stability, and they were greatly comforted by the fact that we had sufficient cash to handle any ups and downs in the environment.
Right. Thanks for the response.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. Sir, I was asking that in the SNC business, as far as we understand it as outside investors, this is a very sort of crowded or with a high competitive intensity kind of space right now. A lot of competition from PE-funded startups as well. So what I wanted to understand is that on the SNC side, like, what is the strategy for NIIT that differentiates our offering to our customers?
I'll ask up next to answer that.
Thanks, and thanks for a very good question. I think the most fundamental thing that differentiates us is the same that has differentiated us over the last 40 years. It is our ability to use technology, learning pedagogy, and learning design to ensure that the learning outcomes that our students aspire for are actually created. And that is really why NIIT's brand holds the trust of its students. While I would agree that the market is crowded, there are many organizations who offer all types of training programs, but I think what we are proud about is our ability to deliver the outcomes that corporations and employers very specifically value. And that is seen by the testament that the students who graduate from NIIT are often able to get jobs that pay twice as much as the students who got jobs directly placed from campus. So it's that brand trust that we have earned over the last 40 years, which is driven by the pedagogy, the technology, the design that we use that ensures that the outcomes that we promise in our training programs actually get delivered. And the students who graduate have the skills to be able to perform the day they start working.
Okay. Thank you for that. Also wanted to understand in terms of the CLG business, you have mentioned in one of the previous conference calls that we have like a 30% deal win rate. And in a separate conference call, you have also mentioned that actually, you know, our capture of the market share has accelerated in the COVID period. So what I'm trying to understand is that what is the rationale behind the higher sales and marketing spend in the subsequent quarters, given that we are already doing very well in terms of, you know, capturing the deals and gaining market share?
I think that's an excellent question. I think I pointed out often on these calls that the learning outsourcing market is a significantly under-penetrated market. At this point in time, fewer than 25% of the companies in the Fortune 1000 outsource appreciably. And so we have very significant headroom. And I think given the fact that we are doing better than competition, it is only upon us to invest and ensure that we create distance between NIIT and competition and gain higher market share in the shortest period of time. And that's really the reason for disproportionate investment in sales and marketing, as well as creation of new and expanded capabilities.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So I wanted to understand specifically on SNC segment. Now, we did speak, I think we are looking at revenue to grow about 50% and maybe a small break-even or profit this year, FY23. So I just wanted to understand, like next 3 to 4 years, how you see the trajectory for SNC group, SNC segment EBITDA margin? Yeah.
I think over time we expect high teens to almost 20% margin. We've guided that this business has the opportunity to grow 5x over the next 5 years. As the business accelerates and reaches a critical mass, we expect the margins to go into high teens and over time into the 20% range.
High teens. And next 1 to 2 years, now I think in the fourth quarter, we were at about 2% EBITDA margin, right? So ideally, one should envisage that this margin percentage should keep on increasing in next 1 to 2 years as well.
No, I think I've said is that we expect to either be just about break-even on the EBITDA margin for the S&C business. Like Vijay also pointed out, that's a business that's in an investment cycle at this point in time.
Correct.
We expect that the margins will be just about break-even or thereabouts.
Understood on this. And my second query is on your demerger. Now, sir, I just wanted to understand that in terms of demerger, is there any cost angle that there were some synergies that we were getting on this combined entity, and because of the demerger, that synergy will go away, or it will add some duplication of that some cost. So, any kind of comment on those lines would be helpful.
I think you may have heard this when the scheme was announced as well. The two businesses are significantly separate, but they are joined by our culture and our ethos and our brand. As we separate the two businesses, we will have some additional costs with respect to overheads in terms of HR or finance and so on and so forth. But outside of that, the business-related expenses are significantly separate.
And I think most of the synergies that or the common resources that Sapnesh said are more of the soft nature. And I think there the management teams which will go to each side will carry that tradition and culture forward. So what we see is a significant upside versus the small cost that may be there in short term.
I
the independence, decision-making, agile decision-making and investment capability will create significantly more value for our customers as compared to the marginal increase in cost.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's great. That's all from my side. All the very best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Operator, I did want to have Mr. Sanjay Mal, who is the CFO, to answer the lady's question on employee benefits. So, Sanjay, just explain.
Hi. So, there's a question that, you know, in quarter three, this Q4 versus previous quarter, there has been a decrease in employee benefit expenses. This is around 22 million, as you would see from the results. This is primarily on true-up of provisioning in relation to actuarial valuations on leave and leave benefits and gratuity benefits. As we all know that the interest rates have basically gone up and the discount rates are accordingly factored, which leads to basically a lower provisioning in this quarter. Of course, there has been a net addition which has also had the impact of net addition of people, which has had the impact of higher cost. So the net impact basically is about 22 million after truing up of the provisions on account of provisions in leave, gratuity and related expenses and the addition into the number of people.
This is an annual cycle.
This happens
every year.
Yeah,
so this true-up is done every year
yeah.
at this point of time, and that's what has happened.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a last question that we should? There are five people waiting for questions. So, operator, can we stop at these five questions because we already well past the time? But definitely we would like to answer each one of them. So if they can answer one question each, please.
Thank you. We would request participants to limit your question to one at a time. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kacholia from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question pertains to the opportunity size for the SNC business that you mentioned. Did I hear correctly that you said it's a $15 billion opportunity?
That's true. It's a $15 to $20 billion opportunity.
And any thoughts that you can share on the logic of this $15 to $20 billion?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the fact that there are 5 million people who work in the IT industry. And every year, the IT industry adds an additional, this year they've added an additional 450,000. Other years, they've added about 250, sometimes 300,000 people. But that's just the IT industry. From an overall perspective, India graduates about 6 million or 6.5 million students each year. From an early career perspective, if you look at 2 years and assuming that only about 10 to 15% of those graduates get jobs straight out of campus, just in the early career segment, we have an opportunity to educate approximately 5.5 million people and help them get the aspirational jobs that they are looking for. If you go beyond that to people who are working adults, like I pointed out, about 5 million people work just in the IT industry. Approximately 1.5 to 2 million people work in the banking industry, and then significantly higher numbers in India enterprises. Given all of that, I think we have a very strong opportunity ahead of us, given the routes that digital transformation has already taken and the acceleration of digital transformation, not just with GSIs and GCCs, but spreading across Indian enterprises as well. I was at a meeting about 3 weeks ago with among the largest search companies. I'll just not name the company. And from their point of view, they said that digital literacy is going to be equal to literacy in citizen programming, literacy in data, and literacy in cybersecurity. So, you know, if you look ahead, every person who's a working adult will have to be literate about digital technologies. And I think that will only accelerate the opportunity set that I just described.
And of this $15 to $20 billion, how much do we think we are already kind of addressing as a market or as a capabilities? And going forward, how do you see that?
I think we have, what I would say is, I am pretty close to the numbers that we have generated. I'm sure you are as well. And I think the headroom is phenomenal.
No, I was just saying out of the $15 billion, what percentage of this market can we target with our capabilities as of today?
I think we can, like I pointed out, there are 5 million people who work in the IT industry. There are about 300 to 450,000 people who join the IT industry each year. So if we, and while a capability set is beyond that, even if we were to limit ourselves to that capability set, it's a significant percentage of that 15 billion.
Thank you very much. All the very best, boss.
Thanks, Ashish.
Thank you.
Your comments mean a lot to us, and so does your questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a good quarter. So just one clarification on the skills and career business segment. You said that you expect the profitability to be just break-even or thereabouts. So does that mean organic SMC or for the overall SMC business, including RPS? Because if I'm not mistaken, RPS was operating at a good double-digit margin. And if you consolidate RPS for the full year, we should be ideally looking at single-digit margin, if not more, for the overall SMC business in next year.
Yeah, it is for the consolidated, and it really represents the investments we are going to make in the growth of the SNC business. Like guided, we are hoping to be on a trajectory that gets this business to 5x of what it is today in the next
That's 5 years. That's true, sir. That was all this aspiration that you would want to take this business 5x of the present size. But I think the directional sense on margins were that margins should ideally look up each quarter. And from the 2% exit margin that we are at, we are talking of margins going down further in full year 23. So how should we read about the profitability trend of SMC going ahead? Because this is a good deviation from our earlier stance of margins being trending up rather than going down in this business segment.
I think at least in the conversations I've had, and I know of the conversations we as a team have had, we've always felt that for the SNC business, it's very important to be at a fast growth path and be able to ensure that we become the first choice in the first couple of years and then start looking at margin expansion.
Right. And also on the corporate learning segment, where are we in terms of split of physical and virtual training currently? And are our clients pressing upon us to go in for more in-person training than virtual training before?
Yeah, in Q4 we started to see the beginnings of in-person classes, and I think that is only likely to accelerate.
Any number can you give as to what is the split between virtual and in-person now versus what it was 2 quarters back?
It's still small as a number, but as things become more normal, this number is likely to grow quite significantly. It is likely to come to not exactly the pre-pandemic levels, but maybe just short of that.
And so one last.
But certainly not zero.
Right. And just on the CLG business again, I mean, last time we had indicated that we want this business to be 3x of the run rate. Like from $150 million, we can expect this business to go to $450 to $500 million in the next 5 years, implying a CAGR of almost 25-26%. And now we are guiding to a 20% growth in this year. So are we building in some conservatism in our guidance for next year, or how should we look at the medium-term aspiration versus the immediate guidance that we have given out for this segment?
Yeah, I think we are preparing ourselves to achieve the 3X that we mentioned, and we know what it would take for us to get there. I think we are taking one step at a time, and I'm also cognizant of the environment that you see in the market today. So given all of that, I think our guidance of 20 would make sense.
Right. Yeah, that's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirmal Bari from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the two order wins that we had in the education sector in the US. So one was when did we win this order, that is in the current quarter or the previous quarter? And secondly, if you can throw some on the kind of contract that is that we have won, and how similar or different would it be from the order win that we had with Reco a few years back in terms of revenue and profitability?
I'll try to answer your first second question first. RICO is a regulatory body that regulates the conduct of real estate agents in the province of Ontario in Canada. It is not a university or a college, but it does provide license to operate education for real estate agents. And here the operative word is license to operate. Universities, on the other hand, are public universities who don't operate in the license to operate model. So that's a big difference. We have started making investments in our higher education go-to-market over the last 9 to 10 months. And like I have mentioned, that we acquired two large universities as our customers. We are entering the higher education segment for the first time in the United States in many years. And before I start commenting on how or and whether those customers are likely to turn out as other managed training services customers of CLG, I want to ensure that we have the ability to experience these contracts. However, our expectation is that these contracts will turn out to be as our managed training services contracts. However, given that the new segment and it's not another enterprise in a different segment, we would like to take the time and execute on some of these contracts before we start solidifying what the future contract might look like.
Yeah, so the revenue that we would be generating in this university's contract, would it be from the fees that the students would be paying, or would it come from the universities in terms of a fixed revenue contract or something?
See, eventually the universities earn from the students. That's the university's method of making money, and we will be participating in that method. So the
university
outsourced the education to NIIT.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. One question and one clarification. Firstly, SNC, are we commenting anything in terms of what could be the key driver for the growth for FY23 or beyond for each of the sub-segments, which is India B2C, India B2B, and RPS?
No, I think, like I pointed out, we expect the overall SNC business to grow quite significantly in the 50% or so range. And also from a long-term perspective, we expect that business to reach 5x in the next 5 years.
Okay. And from a RPS, can you share the revenue EBITDA for the quarter?
I don't think we offer segment-wise revenue or profitability. What I can say is that they've seen growth. Their business has seen growth, and they have maintained their profitability.
Growth from YOY, not QOQ, right?
That's correct. The seasonality of the India market is secular for them as well as us.
Right. And just lastly, a clarification. You said 20% margin for CLG business, but will that be on exit basis or annual basis? Because if it is former, then do we expect it to go sub 20% on an exit basis?
I think what I'm ready to talk about is that for the year, our profitability will be in the 20% range.
Yeah, I mean, the same way if you do the math, either it has to become 20% next quarter, or at least in one of the quarters it has to go below 20%. That's what the question was.
I can find three more ways of telling you that it will be 20% for the year.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you once again for not only very incisive questions, but also very good guidance and kind words, which many of you had to say, and those mean a lot to us. As usual, we would be available for any further questions that we may have missed or may not have understood or may not have had the right data for a continuing conversation. And for that, you are most welcome to contact Kapil Saurabh. And he will schedule a call with whoever is responsible for giving those answers. So with that, I would like to bring this call to a closure. Thank you once again and have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.